Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. And thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach. I'm here with Laura. Let's see. If you're paying attention, this is part two of our Can of Worms episodes. We started a project last week where we wanted to talk through a specific exercise. And we actually never got to it. So today we're going to get through it. It's an exercise that Laura uses with couples to help them have conversations that they're not inclined to have just sort of naturally. So we talk through that quite a bit. We hone it. I think there's some cool stuff that comes out. As always, we bat around some stuff that has nothing to do with anything, but that's kind of fun. Also, there's a special guest in this episode in the middle of our ad today. So thanks to our sponsor, Paired. If you haven't downloaded that yet, I think today might be the day. But yeah, Laura and I have a good time today. I think you'll get a lot out of it. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around.
Okay, so if you were just listening to the previous episode, nothing has changed. Zach and I are still, it is still a Saturday morning in our households. We recorded the last episode and then Zach told me that I could not open the can of worms and that I had to hold off until we recorded a second episode. So this is the second episode. This is us just like pausing and recording a second episode. Yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah.
We promised to be more concise and more
now that we got our wiggles out. Yeah.
Now that we got our wiggles out.
Yeah. Anything new?
I just want to say this because I say this a lot and I really just want to make sure that people understand, and maybe that's boring or not, but when I talked about last time, how I think we have an important job and like I have influence at Microsoft, influence in politics, influence in Hollywood, and influence, like this podcast is a big part of it. And I hope that we get to speak into people's lives in ways that help them transform their lives, which transforms their communities and transforms their world. And I just want to say, like, with sincerity, thank you so much that you come back and you pay attention to what we have to say. I know it sounds like trite and maybe we were asking you to buy stuff all the time and now we're going to start asking you to spend money on Laura's fundraiser. And yes, we want your reviews. And yes, we want you to support our sponsors. And yes, we want you to support the Tumor Foundation for Children. And also, like, just go be better in your world. Go make your world a better place in your relationship. It's okay. Thanks just for giving us a minute of your time. So we're gonna steward that well in the next half hour.
I think we're just out there hoping that we have some positive impact on your lives. And hopefully, you know, having listeners like you allow us to do things like raise money for the Children Cancer Foundation. I'm going to figure out how to say that. Tumor Foundation.
Yeah, we need to sharpen our messaging for next year because the marathon is not till November.
Yeah.
But to review, we got on the podcast about an hour ago and we had this intention to talk about something about a can of worms that Laura has been working on in her private practice, which is a very specific activity. Instead, what we did was we dumped a can of worms out onto the desk in front of us and we started to talk about all of the worms that we saw. And so if you haven't listened to that episode, maybe you're like, what are these guys talking about? But you might want to go back. I think there were some good nuggets. And if you don't go back, today we're going to talk about a kind of an exercise that you've been bringing to bear that that maybe we're going to sharpen and refine and make kind of work better. I'm excited about it. We're going to workshop it. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to workshop it because I would love the way that your brain thinks, the way like you work through metaphors and language and, okay. So I actually had to Google can of worms. Like why in the English language do we use this whole idea and am I using it correctly?
All right.
So the idea of like a can of worms, I looked up the definition. The English language is so weird, but it says, if you say that someone is opening a can of worms, you're warning them that they are planning to do or talk about something that is much more complicated, unpleasant, or difficult than they realize and that it might be better left alone. So when I'm working with couples and I said, I'm working really hard to make sure that my time with them is important, it's intentional, and it feels like a win. Many couples are saying, Laura, we come to therapy because we want to open the can of worms in session with you. And then we want to put the lid back on. And we want to go back to our lives when we're not in therapy. I'm like, okay, all right. So let's make a can of worms. And that's actually what I've been working on.
And this started with you talking about how you wanted to be efficient in sessions, because you were super aware that the clock was ticking and that, you know, every minute costs, you know, $5 or whatever it costs. And you're talking about how sometimes you get massages and that's not, you know,
and
you're
thinking, by minute eight, I'm like, am I really enjoying this? Cause I just spent, you know, $30 on the last 8 minutes. Was it effective? Does it feel like it's doing what I want it to do? And a lot of couples,
by the way, we feel like we can wander around on the podcast because it costs you nothing. It costs you nothing to listen to this podcast. You are using your own free time.
Yeah. So if you don't like it, you can move on. But thank you for sticking with us and giving us a 5-star review for those that do enjoy Zach.
Jeez, we're going to stop. We're going to stop selling you stuff. We might have an ad somewhere in here, but let's promise not to sell them anything. Hey, everybody, welcome. And thank you for listening to this advertisement on Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach, and I'm here just now with my wife, Rebecca. Say hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
We've been talking for a while now about the Paired app. And today I thought we'd get a real live testimonial. So what do you think, babe?
I love it.
Okay.
I mean, every day we get a new question that most of the time I've never heard of before. And then we get a chat about it. It's kind of fun.
Right on. So we're talking about an app called Paired that Rebecca and I both downloaded to our phones, and then we got paired together. That's what it's like. Rebecca thinks it's called Parrot, but it's called Paired, P-A-I-R-E-D.
I mean, of course we got paired together. We're married. You wouldn't ask someone else.
You get paired with your partner, yeah.
Yeah, I would hope you wouldn't ask someone else.
Right, I did it.
Okay, good. And then we get questions and quizzes and games to help us stay connected. For example, I recently learned something I didn't know the day it asked us, what do you find sexiest about your partner? Well, that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. But I'm not going to reshare that here.
Okay, babe, it's fine. But I know what I know.
You do. All right. So the deal is that you each get a prompt every day, and you don't get to see your partner's answers until you both completed the prompt. So again, there's quizzes and games and questions. It's a really playful way to work on the relationship. So you want to do it? Do you want to read the call to action?
Yeah, of course. All right, here we go. Bet.
You got to put your best advertisement voice on.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Whether you're just a few dates in or have been together for a long time, it's time to lighten the mood and have fun with your partner by using Paired. Head to paired.com/MTR to get a 7-day free trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. Just head to paired.com/MTR to sign up today. Connect with your partner every day using Paired. A happier relationship starts here.
Thanks, Rebecca.
You're welcome.
Thanks, everybody. And now back to the show.
This is an actual exercise that you and your partner can do, because what ends up happening is that there are topics that I think couples sort of envision, like these are the topics that are the can of worms. These are the ones that we don't talk about. These are the topics that we avoid. And maybe it's sex, and maybe it's finances, and maybe it's the affair that happened 13 years ago, or maybe it's, you know, whether or not we want to have another kid, or maybe it's the fact that we had several children who didn't come to fruition because we decided that it was time to focus on our career, or it was a stillbirth, or, I mean, there's so many things that we tread very lightly around in relationships. And part of what my couples are saying is, thank you, Laura, for creating a safe space. We're ready to talk about the hard shit. And so I'm having them physically create can of worms. If you are, in my practice and you listen to this podcast, you're like, hey, yeah, we did do a can of worms. So this is an exercise that you can do with your partner. You need paper, you need pencil, you need like a mason jar, like one of those big mason jars, and scissors. And what I have couples do is they go through and individually on the strip of paper, they're creating one topic. And it needs to be specific enough that when you pull out a strip of paper, you can read it and it says something like, you know, resigning from your position, or, you know, it's a topic. Will we have a second child? So you're going to create a list, and on each slip of paper is a topic that is hard for the two of you to talk about. Maybe you're revisiting it. Maybe you've never had the conversation before, and you're going to write it on this strip of paper. Those are your worms. you're going to fold it up and you're going to put it in the mason jar. Okay. So that's the setup. Then with
Can
me.
I talk?
Yeah.
How do I do that without getting flooded or angry or like set up? Like in the narrative of like, oh, hey, I'm going to talk about this. Like, how do you recommend that we create this list? Because they're hot button topics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we do that without, you know, getting upset?
Well, I think number one, when you're writing something down rather than talking to your partner about it, that actually helps you to stay you know, in your body, I guess, like to, rather than getting flooded.
Okay.
So you're not talking about it right now. All you're doing is the setup and basically saying, hey, there's a lot of things in my head that I avoid talking to you about, or I would, I would like to clear the air. I would like to remove these huge boulder relationship conversations. But I don't know how to do it. So
can I put something in the jar without your consent?
What do you mean?
Like, can I be like on a Tuesday, be like, oh yeah, I want to talk about that time that she went to the grocery store and spent $500 without asking. And I wrote it down. I came home and I put it in the jar and you still haven't, you're still at home. You're like, I can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have to be in agreement. It's, it is your can of worms. Like the topic that's hard for you to talk about may be very different from the topic that's hard for your partner to talk about. Like your partner may want to talk about the, you know, they want to open the relationship up and you have no idea. They're going to write it on the strip of paper and they're going to put it in the jar. So now you have a jar of all of the topics that you may have avoided, you feel uncomfortable and you're afraid of talking about it. Okay.
Okay.
The most important piece is if we're going to think about this kind of like a game, is every game has rules that you have to follow. This is where I wanted your help.
All right.
In order to create safety around the jar, the can of worms, and opening the can of worms, I would like for us to establish sort of like the rules of the game. The first rule of the game is the timeline. There has to be a timeline that's established that like when we sit down and we are going to do the hard work of let's open up the jar and let's grab one strip of paper and let's discuss it. Having a finite amount of time that you discuss that is really important and it has to be abided by. So I'm just wondering kind of like an arbitrary number. What do you think would be a fair amount of time that you would feel comfortable saying, all right, I'm willing to dive into the hard stuff to do the hard stuff. But I'm only willing to do it for this amount of time. How long do you think it should be for?
Okay. Can I go on a little bit of a tangent to answer this question?
Of course. That's why we have a podcast that you pay nothing to listen to.
Okay. Here's what I think. I think it's evoking for me the memory of a couple that was in my practice. I've talked about them before. You might've heard me describe that they created for themselves something called couch time.
Yeah.
And couch time for them was as closely as possible, replicating what the experience of being in my office was. So in my office, you sit on a couch. In my office, the appointment is 50 minutes long in their case. In my office, there's an assumption that you're on your best behavior. In my office, there is a third party present. In my office, there is a, you know, so they created for themselves this notion that they called couch time, which meant that they could request it at any time. And it was, that they would meet on their couch in their house with the agreement that they would both be on their best behavior. And I think they targeted about 50 minutes, like 50 minutes was kind of the outside length of couch time.
Yeah.
So I care a lot about context. I care more about context than I care about content, particularly when it comes to couples talking to each other. So you've got a jar full of content.
Right.
This literally is a jar full of content that we want to discuss. So I think you're right to establish the rules. That's context. And it almost doesn't matter as long as you agree. But if you're asking me a direct question about how long do I think you should allow for a can of worms conversation, I would put it at 50 minutes at the maximum. And I would, but I would protect it with 50 minutes when we're on our best behavior. There are, here's another thing that's true about my office. There's no distractions. Like people aren't answering their phones or checking their texts when they're in my office.
Yeah.
You're on your best behavior. We've limited our distractions. We have a space that we go to that is designed to kind of hold this conversation. Mm-hmm. And we have a timeline so that if we're done, you know, we're done. We're not going to beat it to death. We're not going to extend ourselves beyond either one of our limits. And then inside of that 50 minutes, of course, you have to still build skill. But that's the simple answer to your question about how long would I make it?
Yeah. Because essentially, I'm going to go through my couples. By the time we get to the can of worms, they're skilled. They have learned how to have quality conversation with each other. But what I'm doing is I'm saying, I understand that these are topics that you want to talk about. And it's very expensive for you to come into my office and for us to open the can of worms every time. If you want to, great. But this is also something I want our couples to have at their ready that they can do without coming to see Zach or Laura. You can create your own.
Okay, so I think that's actually a really important point. Yeah. I think that's a really important point I want to emphasize is that I don't think I grasped this when you first started talking, but this is an activity for skilled couples who are coming in with an awareness of kind of what they want to do, why they want to do it, and that they have confidence that they can do it. This isn't like, hey, I just listened to your podcast and I thought I'm going to put a bunch of topics in a jar and just talk about them, you know? Okay, cool.
Okay,
that's good.
Hold on. Confidence is a huge word, a huge piece of the puzzle. Is these couples have been walking on eggshells, not talking about these topics because they don't have the confidence that the conversation is going to go well. So here's what I'm doing. I'm creating the context for them to be able to have a skilled conversation. I don't think you need to come and learn all the skills from me or Zach or one of our workshops in order to have a hard conversation. But I think you have to say, we're going to have this conversation when it's distraction free. We're going to do it in our basement on our special couch, not in, you know, our bedroom that we're holding sacred. We're going to show up as our best behavior, distraction free. We're going to be kind to each other and it's time limited. So that's what I would do is sit down with your partner once you have your jar. And how can you create confidence this conversation is going to go well by establishing the rules, the explicit agreement of how we're going to play with the jar? I will say that this is a Zach thing. When you pull a strip of paper out, let's just say that it is, I want to talk about, you know, the $2,000 that you lost gambling last month. That's a big topic. We haven't talked about it. I want to talk about it. Is before you do anything, is you agree on what's the purpose of us discussing this?
Why are we talking about it?
You use 3 D's. I went into also, it's funny, 3 R's. I've been kind of like embodying you in session. So the 3 D's is dreaming, discussing, deciding. Are we dreaming out loud? Are we discussing? Are we deciding we're going to make a decision? I forget what the 3 R's. There was one that was like repair. I can't remember what the others are.
Safe flight replace. That's a new commercial jingle. We're going to put a commercial jingle on every episode from now on.
Yeah. That's an old one. This episode.
It's new to our podcast.
Safe flight. Our actual sponsors are like, can you sing our jingles? Because we're the ones that are paying you to have. Yes, we will. We will sing your jingles. So that's one thing that I would say is like on the piece of paper, make a list of what the purpose of the conversation could potentially be. Can you imagine, Zach, like just brainstorm with me? I have 3, right? Like the dream, are we dreaming? Are we discussing? Are we deciding? Are we repairing? Are we, what are some other purposes of a conversation?
Well, I think, first of all, I think repair should be the primary reason you have any of these can of worms conversations anyway. There's a reason those things went in the jar. They created a sense of disrepair, and to talk about them is to seek repair, I think should be like the goal. Sometimes people show up at these conversations and they want to litigate or they want to win or they want an apology or they want to punish somebody. And all of those things need to be sort of checked because I don't want to have a can of worms conversation with my competitor. I want to have a can of worms conversation with my partner, with my collaborator. And the collaboration is in search of repair would be my bias. If you have other agendas, let's we can name them, but that's, yeah. that would be my.
So repair is really important. Oh, I remembered another one, and it doesn't have to be repair. It could be, I want to talk about retirement. That's not necessarily like we're seeking repair. It's just, this is a conversation we haven't had. It is on my mind.
That's fair.
It's in the can of worms, right? So maybe you're dreaming at that point. The other one is understanding. I'm just seeking to understand you. I just want to hear you. Another one might be, I want to have this conversation because I need to feel validated. I need to feel like I'm valid in my feelings and thoughts, whatever that might be. Why are you laughing?
We were watching a Hallmark Christmas movie the other day, and it was actually, Hallmark's knocking it out of the park, by the way. A lot of people have problems with Hallmark Christmas movies. They've got all kinds of issues, but.
Well, they started bringing in same-sex couples and a little bit more diversity, which is nice.
A little bit more diversity.
A
little bit. There's also more diverse plot lines, because the plot line that everybody knows is, oh, disaffected young professional woman goes to this small town called Christmaston, and she hates Christmas, but she meets her boyfriend or meets the guy who has a single child, you know, whatever. So anyway, side point, in the one that we were watching, this girl says to this other lady who's having a panic attack, she says, do you want to be hugged, heard? Do you want to be heard, hugged, or helped? Hugged, heard, helped, or hugged, I think is what she says.
Oh, I like that.
And it's kind of a trope right now that's bouncing around a lot of like TikTok-y social mental health stuff. Mm. Abby called me the other day and she was having a little panic attack about her final exams. And I just said, do you want to be helped, heard, or hugged? And she goes, she chuckled, she laughed. She goes,
is it going to end up like painted on, you know, signs that you hang in
live,
your
live, laugh, love?
Yes. Yes.
So, but to your point, I think like when somebody starts talking about their issue,
right,
I also care about context in terms of like consent building. Like, what do you want right now? Do you want to be helped?
Yeah.
Do you want to be heard, or do you want to be hugged, comforted, you know? Mm. And so I can appreciate that if the topic comes out and maybe it's not your handwriting, it's the other person's handwriting. Right. I think the first question is, what do you want out of this conversation?
Yeah.
You know,
as
you have been saying. So,
all right.
And then
I
there's
like
three
that.
H's if you want them.
Yeah. We gave you three D's and we gave you three H's. You're welcome.
And eventually you're going to remember your three R's and we'll be all set.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other, I won't remember the three R's, but is there any other, I guess, rules that you might put around this? Cause I've been thinking a lot of it, like almost like a game, and what do you need? And games, like, how do they end? Is it that somebody wins, and what is a win feel? Mm-hmm. How it ends. Mm-hmm. And we know that there's a timeline that you've put on it, but I had a question for you. What happens when you get to the end of your 50 minutes? Or, by the way, I had this conversation with a couple and one partner said, I can only handle 30 minutes. I fled really easily, which is very true for a lot of people. And I can only show up for a can of worms conversation if I know it's going to end in 30 minutes. And I was like, cool. Uh-huh. And the partner said, oh, I could go for 60 minutes. And I was like, well, if you can go for 60 and they can go for 30, you got to go with the lowest common denominator. You're going for 30 minutes.
Yeah. Or my brain would say, go, all right, label it 45. And then you stretch a little bit and you stretch a little bit, because you're going to get more than you want and you're going to get less than you want. And that's actually kind of at the heart of compromise.
How would you decide that, like, you open the jar,
how does
the
it
can
end?
Of worms? Yeah. But like, what if you don't get to the end of the topic, or you don't, you only hear one partner.
Do you put it back in the jar?
That's the question that I have for you. Of what would you do if you don't feel like it's resolved, or you don't feel like you've understood your partner, or you didn't get to a space where it felt like we can take this out of the can of worms? Do you just put it right back?
Okay.
Do you, one partner said, we tape it to the top. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, maybe tape it to the top.
Now you got like a chia.
That was popping into my head.
Okay.
Like, let's do this again. I mean, it's hard, right? You guys, again, this is skilled couples who have an interest in repair and who are collaborating.
Mm-hmm.
If I just tape it to the top, keep taping it to the top, like maybe my topic is getting I don't know, maybe I would ask for help. If it's a topic that you can't solve within the context of the rules that you set,
mm-hmm.
or you can't get to the end.
Yeah.
I always, the hair always perks up on the back of my neck when people talk about, oh, this isn't resolved. And I'm like, no, most of them aren't resolved.
That's right.
But you can get to repair by saying, okay, thank you so much for taking the time to execute this exercise with me effectively. And I really appreciate that we got to do that together, even if we didn't get to the end of this content.
Right.
trust has been built because we successfully heard each other. And I think that's actually the goal, trust building. It's not resolving.
Right.
So
that is a really important piece, that as you are creating the rules, the boundaries for this conversation, maybe put in big, bold letters at the top. Understand that when you take a strip of paper, a worm out of the jar, you will not solve it. The majority of problems that are in the jar are unsolvable. It's just that you're trying to create, like you said,
why they're in the
trust and connection. Yeah. So the goal is, let's not have these topics that we dance around, we avoid, we have eggshells, and it creates distance between the two of you. Let's make it a little more visual. Like, these are the things that we are aware of that's creating distance. And when we sit down and we commit to having these hard conversations that are going to go better because you put some rules around them, that you're going to just create more trust with each other. And then the other piece is, how do you end it? I want there to be an agreement of, like, do we hug? Do we thank each other for having these hard conversations? And I love having some kind of physical intimacy at the end.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about sexual. That is a way of saying, okay, this is a ritual that we've done, and let's appreciate that we sat down, we did some hard work today. Anyway,
I love that. I agree. I think there should be some kind of connection. I think, I often say to couples, there's a reason we talk about makeup sex. There's a reason that we elevate makeup sex as, say, better than normal sex. And it's because we've come through something together that has generated intimacy for us. And we're sort of sealing the deal, this kind of repair deal with something that looks like recovery. And I think, you know, if you think about the can of worms as a thing that is designed to generate intimacy, you know, bring us closer together because we've successfully navigated something difficult, why not target makeup sex? Why not target the long makeup hug, or the, you know, why not seal the deal with the, some kind of symbol of your shared connection? I think that could be really, really powerful. You know, in terms of how to end it, you know, if the timer goes out, respect the timer, right? And you say, okay,
100%.
Well, this didn't really work. And we already have our rule about, what do we do with this topic if we feel like it's not ready to come out of the jar? Do we tape it to the top? Do we outsource it? Do we ask for help? You know, do we put it back in? You know, that, you know, we have those rules, but I think you got to protect these spaces, and then move on, and then, like, move on. Go ahead and get dinner. Go ahead and, you know, have the next thing. I mean, being in a relationship like this is playing the long game. It's really playing the long game, which means you gotta protect the conflict time with non-conflict time as well. Or the, I don't know if it doesn't necessarily have to be conflict.
Yeah. I think about the change the space, like, thank you. Now we're going to leave the couch in the basement. We're going to go upstairs and we're going to cook, right? Like leave the space, have, I also really, by the way, if you're going to have these hard conversations, go for a freaking walk. I just think there's so much power in two of you getting out and get into nature, walk side by side. I didn't mention this, but one thing that our couples do in our practice is that there's a speaker and there's a listener, and it is protected that you are going to talk. We don't do this on the podcast because we talk over each other. You're going to talk and I'm just going to listen. And when I'm listening for feelings. I'm listening to validate you. I'm listening to empathize. I'm not listening for the counterpoints. Like, you don't have to feel like you have to litigate your position. And I think that can be helpful to add in of, like, what would make this conversation go really well? How can we create that safe space so that we can talk about this? And if you decide as a couple, I'm going to talk and then you're going to listen and then you're going to get a chance to talk and I'm going to listen. We're not going to interrupt each other. That's probably really helpful too.
Yeah.
All right. That was my can of worms.
And I could run, I mean, again, I could run away with this. Like, the idea, do you remember that we talked to that guy? I don't actually think it came from him. Might've been somebody in my practice, but I have a couple that I'm aware of anyway. And one of their commitments to each other is they don't argue inside the house. And the way they justify that to themselves is that they say, if we argue inside the house, the house, the roof, the ceiling holds the tension inside of the house.
Like,
we'll talk about it, but it's still there because it hits the roof. So they do, they talk about everything on a walk.
It's like,
so they
energy.
Talk about it and it gets to go up into the sky or something, you know? So I think whatever works for you is cool and you should pursue that. But I like the idea. The other thing that that I'm sort of encouraged by as you describe this activity is just thinking about the jar getting emptier.
Right.
Like let's say after this episode, you're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's fill up our jar. And now you've got, 10 or 12 pieces of paper in this jar that's sitting there on your kitchen counter. And to watch it over time get emptier, I think it could be a really powerful symbol for your family. Just to say, oh yeah. And I think, I said this to a client yesterday and I was like, that's powerful. I'm going to put that on. I'm going to make that a meme. I'm going to put it on the podcast. But it's basically this, which is nobody likes to work. Nobody likes to work. Maybe there are people who like to work, but everybody likes to play. Nobody likes to work. Everybody likes to play. So let's turn the work into play. Nice. And so I think that's a little bit of what this exercise invites, and particularly if you can watch your jar get emptier, that could be really cool.
And I will say, I think that this also came out of the idea that when couples come to therapy, often there's one partner that is more vocal about addressing what's going on. And I have heard the complaint come up often. So really what I've been doing, Zach, and this started about a month ago when I did this whole lecture, right? Like how to be effective as a therapist and how to maintain happy clients. Is making sure that each partner feels like they have a voice in therapy and that their concerns get the appropriate amount of airtime. And so this popped into my head one day where I was kind of like, you know what? What if you guys wrote your concerns down on strips of paper? The strips of paper go in the jar and we just pull out, just one topic. And it could be that we talk about two of hers, in a row, and then your concern gets talked about, but we know that it's fair. And I just wanted to level the playing field when one partner is a little more vocal about their needs in therapy, and that often gets tended to. How can I rebalance it in some way? So that was important. All right, let's land this plane. I got my can of worms out, which is great. And I also wanted to ask for questions from listeners, because I would love to specifically lean into answering some of your relationship questions. If you have them, send them to info@marriagetherapyradio.com. We'll be collecting them and then we can just lean into some of the questions.
We'll do like a mailbag around Christmas or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Or several mailbags. I would love that.
Okay. Yeah. Right on. All right. Well, cool. We did good. I am proud of us. And, I just want to again say thank you. Thank you to all of you guys who are listening and hanging out with us. And we look forward to hanging out with you in the next year. We're like, I don't know. Oh, you know what?
Hey,
This episode comes out, I'll be at Disneyland.
You're going to Disneyland again?
Yeah.
That sounded really critical. I'm sorry. You're going to Disneyland. That's so cool.
Yeah. I get free tickets every year. So, and they always expire by the end of the year. So I've taken Mary 3 years in a row.
How do you get free tickets to Disneyland?
Okay. Doesn't matter. That's not important right now.
What's important is that
every year I take Mary and we have a bonding moment, and it's like a little bonding trip. And this year she was being a butthole. So I decided to take Rebecca instead. And so Rebecca and I are going to Disneyland, and we're just going to walk around as adults. And she's been picking out her outfit. She's so excited to dress up like Winnie the Pooh or Minnie Mouse or something. And we're taking our neighbors, Jeff and Tyler. They're our next door neighbors, and they are Disney freaks. And the four of us are just going to go play for a couple of days. Okay. And then I'm going to a conference. So I'm technically going to a conference and also Disneyland, but really I'm going to Disneyland and then also a conference.
Is this the conference that's happening with Esther Perel?
No, that's in February. No, that's
in February. You're busy.
But I am going to a conference to try and get some players to come hang out with us on the podcast. It's called The Evolution of Psychotherapy. And there's a lot of like big time speakers, and I'm going to make sure that I get up and go, hey,
get it.
Hey, want to come on our podcast?
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a great idea. Here's my business card. Just kidding. I don't have a business card.
I'm thinking about getting some printed, but I'm at least going to have an envelope with a, anyway, doesn't matter. I was about to say Merry Christmas to everybody, but what I meant to say instead was
Happy Holidays.
I'm having fun at Disneyland, and then we'll tell you Happy Holidays in the next episode.
Let's land this plane. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Our email, info@marriagetherapyradio.com, comes directly to me, my inbox, and I would love for you to ask questions that we can answer on the podcast. Second, if you're into iTunes reviews, like go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review. If it's not a 5-star review, then send us an email and tell us how we can do better. And then finally, I am always going to mention this from now until probably November. Check out our website, marriagetherapyradio.com. You'll find information on there for the Children's Tumor Foundation that I'm raising money specifically for NF research. Thanks for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.